Ramadan Reflections, Day 21. Fatima Zahra, the Fountain of Paradise for the Prophet.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, brothers and sisters, is the 21st day of the month of Ramadan for the year 2023, and we continue in our Ramadan reflections. It's on a day like this, brothers and sisters, in the year 41 after the migration, that the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his father, where he succumbed to the serious injuries inflicted upon him by the cursed Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim. May Allah deal with him with his justice. May Allah remove his mercy from this man and those who love and follow him even today. That he was attacked on the 19th of Ramadan in the Masjid of Kufa, and he left this world also in the city of Kufa in his house on the 21st of the month of Ramadan. We begin by offering our condolences to the Imam of our time, Imam Al-Hujjah, the senior scholars of our faith, and to each and every one of you, the viewers and listeners to this Ramadan Reflections 2023 series, our ninth year in producing this inspirational glimpse into ayat of the Quran and their understanding. Now, although the Prophet was blessed with a few sons through his most beloved illustrious wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija bint Khuwaylid, peace be upon her, they both passed away in their infancy. In summary, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, had two male children from his first wife. He had from his first wife Khadija, that is, peace be upon her. One was Qasim. The other son was named Tahir, and we also know him as Abdullah. Both of these young children, boys of the Prophet, passed away in Mecca in their infancy. And therefore, the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, did not have any son who lived. Now, this tragic event gave the Quraysh, the polytheists of the Quraysh, that is, the opportunity to hurl insults and mock the Prophet. And they began to refer to him as Abtar, one who has no surviving male children, one who has been cut off in his progeny. You know, the Arab society, we talked about this early on in our series, you know, this Arab society was very much male-centric. And they had this fixation with having sons, and they had a stigma with having daughters. We talked about that previously. And Islam came to eradicate this cultural baggage, this backwards cultural baggage. And those pagan Arabs that, however, those pagan Arabs that disliked the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his family, they stopped at nothing to hurt him. Not only physical, but the mocks, the insults, they continued. However, when a man named As ibn Wa'il, one of the chiefs of the pagans, began to refer to the Prophet as Abtar, a derogatory word, as I said, that refers to a male, one who has no male posterity. It literally means an animal whose tail has been severed. They felt, well, he has no male children to follow him and potentially take over as a successor of prophethood after he would die. And so this taunt was really too much to bear. That's one thing to mock a person to their face and call them names, to insult them as an individual. But now when you mock them for not having children, whether male or female, that's really a more direct attack. You're attacking his wife, you're attacking him. There's a lot of insinuations that, you know, would be made. However, Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, was on a mission to eradicate the ignorance of these people. But at the same time, we all know he needed to have some form of consolation. He is a human being. He has emotions, feelings, sentiments. And this is where Allah comes into the picture and the revelation, the Quran, which he was sending down to the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. So let's turn to the Quran today on the 21st day of the month of Ramadan and review the shortest chapter of the Quran, which speaks about the greatest woman that I want to talk about today briefly, and that is none other than Fatima al-Zahra, may God's peace and blessings be upon her, the only daughter of our beloved Prophet. In chapter 103 of the Quran, Surah Al-Kawthar, Allah says the following. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, surely we have given you, O Muhammad, abundance of good, Al-Kawthar. Therefore, turn to your Lord in prayer and sacrifice. Indeed, your enemy is the one who will be without offspring. Now, as in many other examples of the Quran, Allah was once again giving the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, news of the future, ilmul ghaib, if you want to refer to it as that. And in this short chapter, really, there are numerous things that Allah was providing to the beloved Prophet, to console the Prophet, to provide him, the companions, the friends, and even the enemies with the good tidings of the future state of Islam and the future state of the Prophet and his progeny. Allah, as we see, brothers and sisters, was directly speaking to and addressing the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah bless him and his family. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We are giving you, O Prophet, al-kawthar. Now, what is al-kawthar? What is the meaning of it? Are there, you know, multiple definitions or explanations, or is there only one in the books of commentary and hadith? Well, the literal definition of kawthar is just ample goodness or ample blessings. But what would that mean if Allah were to tell the Prophet, we've given you a lot of blessings? How would that console the Prophet? What would this mean to the Messenger of Allah, given all that he was going through with As ibn Wa'il and the others mocking him? Well, let's mention in the narrations that when this chapter was revealed, the noble Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, ascended the pulpit to the mimbar, and he recited this chapter. The companions asked the Prophet, what is it that Allah had given him? That is Al-Kawthar. And he replied, it is a stream in paradise, whiter than milk, more clearer than a goblet made of crystal, and on either side are domes decorated with pearls and rubies. Is that all that Al-Kawthar is, though? Well, in a tradition from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, he says the following, that Al-Kawthar is a stream in paradise, which Allah has granted to his Prophet in exchange for his infant son, Abdullah, who passed away during the life of the Messenger of Allah. Some commentators and relators of the hadith have also commented that this term Al-Kawthar refers to shafa'ah, intercession. And they've narrated a tradition from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, may God's blessings be upon him, in this regard as well. Another opinion of the many opinions that are out there is that it refers to an abundance of companions and followers of the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah bless him and his family. Yet another interpretation is that it refers to the abundance of descendants, all of whom will come from his beloved daughter, Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her. And the number of his descendants, that is the Sadat, the Sayyids, the Sharif, whatever title you use for them, that they would increase to such an extent that it would be impossible to count them. And you look at today, this doesn't only exist today, this is a fact, it will continue to remain until the end of this world, until the hereafter. These men and women who attribute themselves to be Sayyids or Sadat will continue to be the reminders of the noble Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, being the representation of Al-Kawthar. So given the context of what was going on at the time of revelation and how Allah was consoling Prophet Muhammad after losing his two sons, may Allah bless him and his family, the attacks of As ibn Wa'il and others, it seems that this last opinion is really the best one to be applied. Although it is possible to regard all of the options as being generic possibilities as well. However, let me leave this thought with you of what the prominent and contemporary scholar of our time, Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi, may Allah protect him and all of our great scholars, what does he mention in his work Tafsir Namuna in this regard? How does he interpret this verse? What is his opinion based on his decades-long study of the Quran and Hadith? He's quoted as saying that many scholars of the Shia school of thought believe that one of the clearest examples of this word, Al-Kawthar, is the auspicious existence of Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her. He says this because of the fact that the occasion of this revelation of these verses indicates that the enemies accuse the noble Prophet of being without offspring, to which the Quran replied, "Surely, O Muhammad, we have given you the abundance of good, Al-Kawthar." He goes on to say that from this verse, we understand that this abundance of good, this Al-Kawthar, is the very Sayyidah Fatima Zahra. May God's peace and blessings be upon her. And this is not only limited to the infallible Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, who have a literal number that we can enumerate, 12 Imams. Rather, he says it is the thousands and thousands of children of Fatima, peace be upon her, which have spread around the entire world, from whom so many great scholars, scientists, writers, exegesis of the Quran, jurists, narrators of the Prophet's sayings, and leaders have come from. Individuals who have left outstanding works and unmatched fame in this world and have protected Islam with their selfless giving of themselves and their efforts and all of their hard work and devotion. Brothers and sisters, it's through the blessed union of Imam Ali and Fatima Zahra, peace be upon both of them, which took place on the first of Dhul-Hijjah, in the second year after the migration, equivalent to May the 25th, 624 of the Common Era, that Al-Kawthar would begin to take form and the beautiful children from their union would eventually come into this world, giving our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, grandchildren to play with in Medina. Beautiful grandchildren to which he would be able to enumerate their virtues, which Allah would share with him, of being the leaders of the youth of paradise, of being leaders whether they rise up or they decide to not have a revolution. Now, as we have these last two sessions were dedicated to these great personalities and the great women, we also remind ourselves and all the viewers that we will have two sessions dedicated specifically to the life of Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, and her direct references in the Quran. So don't think that this is the only mention of Fatima Zahra alayhi salam that we have here on the 21st of Ramadan. No, we will have much more about her. Once again, I extend my condolences to all of you on the martyrdom day of the Commander of the Faithful and to our 12th Imam, and I ask Allah to allow us to bear the grief and to better understand our responsibilities to this great man and his wife and their family. And you know, it was on this 21st day of the month of Ramadan, I'll end with this, that Imam Ali, after the ghusl was given to him and his body was wrapped in the shroud that Jibreel had brought many, many years before, that his sons, Imam Hassan and Hussein, and other members of the family would then take the body of the Commander of the Faithful far outside of the city of Kufa. They would take him to what is today Najaf al-Ashraf, and the angels would be there to carry the body of Imam Ali. Imam Hassan and Hussein would be there to carry the body of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And eventually the angels would find a spot which they were ordered to bury the Commander of the Faithful. As the family began to dig the grave, they found that a grave was already ready for the Commander of the Faithful. It had already been prepared for the man. And the plaque was mentioned that this is the burial spot of the Commander of the Faithful, and that he would be laid to rest beside two great prophets, Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. And so it would be, brothers and sisters, that on the 21st of the month of Ramadan, the Commander of the Faithful would eventually go back to Allah. He would be buried in what is today known as Najaf al-Ashraf, the blessed city of Najaf, the same shrine where millions of people pay their respects to the Commander of the Faithful every day. We pay our respects to the Commander of the Faithful, we greet him, and we ask Allah to accept our acts of worship in this month of Ramadan and the remaining days and nights that we have, and to allow us all the ability to make the visitation to the Commander of the Faithful in this life and to avail of his intercession in the world to come. Wassalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.